This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
High kick off to his left. He caught it at the 45.
Oh, my goodness.
And he had some room to run.
Oh, my goodness. Why did he do that? Wow. Here's the thing, too. When you're backed up like that, the Vikings are in protection first mode. They are not going to be down the field. That's the time to get that return. There wasn't anybody within 10 yards of him. Now, they may have told him. Now, in fairness, they may have not wanted to run time off the clock by a guy
dodging
all
over. That would be my guess.
Yeah, so I'm... But, wow, there was a lot of room.
Well,
oh, my goodness. Nobody within 20 yards.
Great call from Babe Laufenberg. Good morning, Metroplex. It's Sean and RJ. Patrick Doney in. NBC5 in for RJ. And yesterday got pretty interesting with Jason Garrett explanations. And you can't say that very often with Jay Jeezy. He came on our show at 8:30, as he does every Monday. And then he spoke with the media in the afternoon. Did the stories match up? Before we get into that, we have some news to bring you as Connor Williams is going to undergo an arthroscopic knee surgery today, Pat. Xavier Suofilo will start in his absence. Jason Garrett said that Jeff Heath is dealing with shoulder injuries and knee issues. Lael Collins aggravated his back. Zach Martin suffered an elbow ailment, but overall the team came out okay medically. But the big news is Suofilo for Connor Williams.
Suofilo did a nice job last year filling in a limited work, and so I think that there's some confidence that he can come in and handle the job in the moment and be okay, and it's not as if Connor's been playing fine, right? But it's not like losing Zach Martin or Tyron Smith or even Lael Collins. You know, not that you want to lose anybody on the offensive line. I think Connor is emerging and becoming a better player each game. But I do think that he is the guy who Xavier, you feel, could come in and really replace and do a nice job and fill in. And that the team, it's not as if the team was running the ball extremely well last week too, which is what, you know, was a huge factor in years past. So interested to see how long Connor's going to be out, though. I guess they're going to find out how long, what kind of timetable after they finish the surgery is when they plan to announce that. So looking forward to hearing that news there.
All right, let's start off with the final drive. By the way, for the record, just so you know,
okay,
I blame the coaching,
okay,
and the offensive play calling, which I don't do every single week. I don't try to be offensive play calling, you know, hindsight expert, but the institutional stubbornness, I believe, is what Mike Fisher called it. The absolute arrogance and stubbornness to continue to ram Zeke into a brick wall and not just let Dak win it cost them that game, number one, and their run defense was number two, in my opinion. What's your order of fault?
I mean, I think that's fair. Only thing I'll say is the offense was pretty remarkable, and Dak was incredible in the game. I mean, has Dak looked better in a game outside of those two plays there? Has Dak looked better overall in a game to you? Because it felt
he was
to me
pretty special first 3 weeks or against the Giants,
yeah,
but against that defense.
Against that defense to do what he was doing and to the throws. Everybody credits Amari for the toe tapping, and we'll talk about that later in the show. I'm looking forward to telling you about that conversation I had with Amari off camera. But but Dak was making throws that were just remarkable. So yes, it was very...
But they didn't throw him enough. That's my problem with Jason Garrett yesterday. He came on the show and he's like, we threw it. I'm like, why didn't you throw it more? We threw it 46 times. He almost had 400 yards. Well, that's not a quota that you hit, Jason. Like, there is
I
such
don't know,
a...
Sean, 46 times is a lot, man. Like, and I understand...
Should he have thrown it more? Should they have run Zeke less?
Probably a few times less.
What
absolutely
do you mean, probably?
Should not have run it on the third and two. Absolutely bad decision there. No question about it. They should have run Dak more. He should have had four or five, six carries in the game. And, you know, I heard Ari on the postgame show talking about they are 1-3 in games in his career that he has no rush attempts. And that tells you how rare it is to see a game where Dak doesn't run. And it's not as if it was like there was something to run there and he just decided not to tuck it and go. But maybe that would have opened things up a little bit more for Zeke if they had, you know, done that. That play where they are in shotgun and Dak has the option to either keep it or hand it.
Yes.
I would have loved to have seen something like that get worked in to maybe open things up a little bit. Maybe the screen game gets going a little bit because they were stuffing the run so well.
It's not just the final drive, though. They screwed Dak throughout the entire game. They asked him to do a radio show without microphones, and he did. They put him in second and third longs nonstop, and they do it because of arrogance, stubbornness, or they're not capable of being different. It was ridiculous. Look at the number of third and long throws this guy had to execute. He was perfect on third and seven and longer, and if it wasn't for him wearing a cape, the game wouldn't have been that close.
Imagine being somebody who didn't want to pay him a contract. That's my thing that I struggle
Shut
with.
Up,
but
Pat.
He was, he was remarkable in the game. The thing that frustrated me even more than the third and two, though, was the decision to throw to him that Dak made on the fourth down. You haven't it's not as if he had a big game running routes down the field one-on-one on linebackers, right?
He's not a great receiver to begin with.
Exactly right. And it's one thing if maybe that had worked a few times in the game. I haven't looked at the all-22 angle to see if he had, you know, if Amari was doubled. I'm assuming the Vikings were trying to take Amari away on that play. But, man, I still love the idea of going to Michael Gallup or to Randall Cobb, who was phenomenal in that game, overthrowing to Zeke there. They should have thrown on the third down. But the thing is, and this is something that I sent you last night, I'm wondering if this is almost the perfect time for this loss to come in this way. And here's what I mean by that. What if this is the final sequence here and the final circumstance that causes the Cowboys to finally believe at this point that they saw Dak go out and do it against the Vikings, a great defense, and basically do everything to win the game except for he gets held back by those two decisions late. And then from now on, we see them give him the keys a little more. And this might be that moment in the season that we look back and say, hey, this is the game. I remember that Vikings game. From then on, they really allowed Dak to run the show, and it didn't run through Zeke. It ran through Dak Prescott.
That's a possible silver lining. Now let's match up Jason Garrett's stories. Yesterday on this show, we asked him, why did you run with Zeke on second and third down at the end?
Kellen's calling the game, and in that situation, it's second and two when he felt like he had a good opportunity against a favorable box to run the ball in those situations. And on each of those plays, we had options beyond just the run. And, unfortunately, we weren't able to convert, and we got into that fourth down situation and didn't convert that. So, obviously, you want to continue that drive. You want to go score a touchdown there. Unfortunately, we didn't get it done.
Okay. Kellen is calling the plays. A lot of people tried to blow that up, and I got all the memes and the GIFs or GIFs of him throwing Kellen under a bus and that little kid video in the front yard with the little car toys.
He can't win, though.
Now, Mike Fisher at the presser with you guys asked Garrett about the same thing, RPO and Dak choices. RPO is run-pass option.
Red Ball, not that you're going to reveal the infrastructure of how RPOs and read options are called specifically, but generally, the quarterback has choices built into the play call, correct?
On both those plays, he did, yes.
Okay, when you guys sit down, do you say, well, maybe that was part me, Red Ball, on Wednesday, maybe that was part the offensive coordinator calling the play, and maybe that's part Dak, who obviously had a brilliant game, but maybe Dak contributed to a bad decision on second down or third down?
Yeah, again, that's the way we evaluate everything. You know, we'll go in today, win, lose, or draw, and you say, okay, what was good about the game? Okay, let's continue to build on that. What were areas that we as coaches need to do a better job? You know, maybe we didn't communicate it well enough. Maybe we didn't practice it well enough. Maybe, you know, it just wasn't executed. And I'm not talking about those specific plays, but that's generally how you approach it. And, unfortunately, we didn't convert in that situation. We gave ourselves a great chance. At the end of the ball game and didn't get the job done. So, we learn from it and we move on.
All right, so Kavanaugh went and did the all-22 study.
Okay.
And first the second and two. RPO number one. At the point where Dak has to make a decision, the unblocked defender on his right has not committed inside. He has man coverage, but not everyone is in a route. So his verdict was it was the correct decision based upon what was called into Dak.
To hand it there.
That
was what the defense reacted to, and so he correctly gave the ball to Zeke in that moment on the play that was called.
Now, his follow-up is, don't have a run pass option be the play call. Just call two passes or call one pass. Call one pass on third down, right? Because they were still trying to melt some clock away. And then on the third down play, Travis Frederick got beat. And he said Connor Williams and the communication with Travis Frederick was not good. The numbers were right. But Dak made the okay decision. He just wanted to see a straight drop back pass called. So that's where we are with it. He also said on one of the plays, Jason Witten is like the only one who ran a route against Harrison Smith. Not a good matchup that you would like. So someone forgot to give the memo to the rest of the receivers that this could be a pass play as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's where we are with it. Now, Tavon, yesterday we asked Garrett, did you tell Tavon Austin to fair catch that punt when you had a ton of room up the left sideline no matter what?
You know, that's a situation where there's a lot of different scenarios in that situation. And, you know, there's a school of thought this is absolutely fair catch in that situation so you don't, you know, bleed the clock and you give your offense a chance at midfield to go score a touchdown. And then, you know, if the returner, you know, he has that in his mind and he has an opportunity to go make a play, you know, we certainly encourage him to do that. So, you know, in that situation, you know, he fair caught it. And, you know, again, we'll evaluate that, you know, based on the situation versus exactly what happened on the particular play how to handle that better in the future.
So that was more of a player choice. You didn't say no.
You lay out the situation. Let's not waste a lot of time. If you don't have a real good opportunity here to go make a return directly north and south, you know, don't waste a lot of time. And you know, in that situation, the way he saw it, he went ahead and made the fair catch and, you know, gave us the opportunity around midfield. But, you know, in hindsight, when you look at it, there might have been opportunity for him not to do that and to kind of hit it north and south and see if we could make some yards on it.
So I agree with Roy yesterday. After Jason told us that, it sounded like to us Tavon had the autonomy to make a decision. He had the freedom to make a choice, but keep the clock in mind. Then in the afternoon presser with the rest of the media, Jason, by the way, in between that, it came out that Tavon told the media, I just did what I was told. So that got out in the middle of Garrett's speaking as he said after the game, I was told to fair catch it. So then the media took that to Jason.
Yeah, we didn't communicate that well enough. You know, in that situation, you got a couple different options. You can go try to block the punt. And we decided not to do that. We decided that we thought there'd be a good chance that we could get the ball around the 50-yard line. So the biggest coaching point for Tavon was make sure you don't bleed the rest of this time off by spending a lot of time trying to return the ball. So fair catch was a very viable option. The part of it that we didn't communicate well enough was just simply, if you do feel like you have a good return opportunity, take advantage of it, catch it and go north and south and get as much as you could. So we did a poor job as a staff making sure he understood that, and hopefully we'll learn from that experience.
By the way, Sean, I have obviously didn't watch the game because I listened to it here on 105.3 The Fan. But when I got home, I actually went back because I wanted to see what happened during that Tavon fair catch. You know, he answered the question on the field. After he fair caught it, he looks at the sideline and he gives a shrug.
Mm.
He gave a quick shrug. He gave the answer before the question was even asked.
Yeah. So there's Jason in the afternoon saying we did a bad job of communicating with him.
That was the first thing I thought, was that there had to have been some miscommunication that was there. But I also want to point out, Kavanaugh tweeted something right away after it happened that I thought was a great point in that moment. You know, Tavon signaled fair catch very early on the play. So that to me also was a sign that he was told to fair catch it. Maybe it was by the special teams coach, and maybe Garrett didn't necessarily think that he was supposed to, you know, he somehow that communication was bad there. But Tavon called fair catch so early on the play, there is a chance that the Vikings defenders saw him fair catch and signaled that and let up a little bit in that moment. So maybe it wouldn't have been quite as open had he not fair caught it as early. But the other thing is, what I don't understand is, you know, Tavon is your punt returner and he's explosive, but, you know, Cobb has kind of been the guy who's like the safe return guy, you know, like for sure hands. Remember how Beasley used to be that guy the last couple of years?
Yeah.
And so if it was a for sure a fair catch moment, you know, I would have wondered if maybe they had, you know, Randall out there instead of Tavon. But when you saw the amount of space he had on the sideline and you know Tavon Austin's speed, that was the most frustrating thing about it, was that he easily could have chunked off 25 yards, 20, 25 yards in that play, stepped out of bounds, and you still have, you know, however many seconds, plenty of time to get yourself in a position to take a shot at the end zone. So majorly disappointing play. But in those moments, you know, the communication, sometimes the head coach, the special teams coach, they're saying two or three different things. And it sounds like, you know, at this point even, there's still some confusion in the building as to what the message actually was in that moment.
I just thought it was interesting. Amateur psychologist here. Jason was like a lot less irritable over getting grilled yesterday. With us, he was like, which one are you talking about? You talking about the third down mess up or the second down mess up? And then with the media in the afternoon, he didn't get irritated over all the questions. And I was like, I wonder if he knows that he's in a lot of trouble, because he is in a lot of trouble.
What would the best answer have been regarding the calling the plays moment? Because I see people crushing him on social media about saying Kellen called the play. I mean, would it have been better if he came out and said that he called the play? If Kellen actually did call the play, which I believe happens, because you see Kellen communicating with Dak during the games.
Every other answer throughout the year about the play calling is us, collaborative effort. And then all of a sudden he just, you know, Kellen's name is out there with some emphasis. It was just different. I'm not saying that he's trying to throw him under the bus.
All right. It's fun.
It's funny. But there are former players who would tell you with a lie detector attached to their arm that this is what Garrett is capable of. Have you heard these things?
Throwing people under the bus is what you're talking about?
Saving himself.
Well, yeah.
There's some conspiracy theories out there from former players who we could have on, and one of them we can't have on anymore.
What's Terrell Owens' Twitter account again? That's literally where you could go and find it if you want.
I was thinking of two other guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.